Father, may your word be our teacher, your spirit our guide, and your glory our great concern, through Christ our Saviour. Amen. I want to begin today by telling you about two of our ancestors in the faith here at St. George's. The first is William Cripps Jr. William's dad, William Cripps, started the Cripps Bakery just down the road at Jackman and Macross. And if you're a Tasmanian, you'll know that Cripps bread is one of our iconic Tasmanian brands. If you're not a Tasmanian, when you fly out of Hobart, when you go to the airport, you'll see a big sign that says you won't have Cripps bread where you're going. Which is true, because it's Tasmanian. What you may not know is that William Cripps Jr. was also a Sunday school teacher here at St. George's. And there's a picture of him in our museum when we did our induction this week with Erica. Took her on a tour of the church and she met William Cripps with his amazing moustache. Anyway, there's also a plaque of to him on the wall just over there behind the organ. And it names him as a generous benefactor. And that is because William never married. And when he died in 1949, he bequeathed his estate to the church. That was the generous benefactor bit. So the second person I want to tell you about is Henry Baldwin. Henry Baldwin was a lifelong parishioner here at St. George's. He was a long-time warden. He served under seven rectors. And he was also a lifelong bachelor, didn't have any kids. And when he died in 2007, amongst other things, he bequeathed his house, which is just across Sandy Bay Road up on Hampton Road, to TMAG. He also gave the Menzies Institute a bequest for a research fellowship. And he gave four churches in Hobart around $1.2 million each, including us here at St. George's. William and Henry both gave countless of volunteer hours to God's mission through St. George's during their lives, but they also gave financially, and indeed their financial legacy continues to fund the work of God's mission in this church to this day. Well, rewind the clock 2,000 years. The year is AD 62. The Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome and he receives a special visitor. It's Epaphroditus, one of the church leaders in the Roman colony of Philippi. And he's just arrived bearing a substantial gift to pay for Paul's expenses. And Paul wrote the church in Philippi a letter in return. And we heard just a little bit of it this morning. And we get a sense of his affection for the Philippian Christians in its opening words. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The source of Paul's joy, the thing that filled him with thanks, was the Philippians' partnership in the gospel, that is, in the good news of Jesus. The word translated partnership kind of has a bit of the connotations of sharing in a business partnership. And that's exactly the kind of picture Paul's going for here. See, Paul had planted the church in Philippi some 12 years earlier. And since then, the Christians in Philippi had been a silent but vital and generous partners in the grand task of promoting the gospel, the good news of Jesus around the world. And we know that their partnership in the gospel refers to their financial generosity, their financial partnership. Because Paul returns to this theme of partnership at the end of the letter. And so this is what we read. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you've sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we began a sermon series titled On a Mission from God. God has created us to live for the praise of his glory, and he has called us to invite others to join in worshiping him. Here at St. George's, we've put it like this, that we are the light on the hill. That's what God's called us to be. We exist to see people drawn to the light of Christ, transformed by the light of Christ, and sent out to shine the light of Christ. That's the mission that God has given us, how we share in what God is doing in the world, what we're all about here at St. George's. And so in this sermon series, On a Mission from God, we are looking at the different ways that each of us can contribute to, participate in the mission of the church. And we're starting today with perhaps the most delicate of all of those subjects, money. Just like the Philippians, like William Cripps and Henry Baldwin, how can we be partners in God's mission here at St. George's through that very practical but vital way of giving money? Now, culturally, we don't really like talking about money, but unfortunately for us, the scriptures have a lot to say about money, so too far too much for one sermon. And also, what we do with our money is a core part of our spiritual lives, actually. It's a way we can practically respond to God. So I'm hoping today for you will be very practical. We're going to look at five principles for giving from Scripture, and then what we should give to and how much we should give. And if you're a regular here at St. George's, you may have seen one of these cards. We refer to them a few times here, your part in the budget. So I'm going to be referring to this in the sermon. Really helpful to help us as we think about giving. If you're a visitor here, it's like a little window into church life here at St. George's. If you go to another church, hopefully this will be helpful for you thinking about your spiritual life and your partner, financial partnership in the gospel with your church. And if you're just new to church, this is a window into how we as Christians think of about finances and money. Okay, let's get underway. Five principles for giving. So number one is money is good. At our 8 o'clock service, there was a typo, and that said money is God. It was really awkward, but very amusing, and I thought I need to replay that joke. So thanks for laughing. Anyway, money is definitely not God, but it is good. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes, "For everything God created is good. Nothing's to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving." So money's the good gift from God, to be received, used, enjoyed with thanksgiving. It's terrible as a master, but it's great as a servant. That's for another sermon. Anyway, so number one, money is good. Number two, it belongs to God. So Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Fundamentally, we don't actually own anything. God has created and sustains all things, and all things belong to God. He's the Lord of all. And this point was impressed upon Israel when they entered the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses warned Israel that when they entered the promised land, when they ate and drank and built fine houses and settled down, when their herds and flocks had grown large and they had silver and gold in abundance, Moses said their hearts would become proud and they would be tempted to say, "My power, the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But Moses warned, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today." I think that's a really powerful word for us in a very wealthy, prosperous society, to remember that all we have is the gift of God. And it first and foremost belongs to Him. So money's good. It belongs to God. And number three, we are to be stewards for the common good. The Apostle Peter writes, "Each one of us should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." God may own the cattle on 1,000 hills, but He is in the business of sharing His wealth. He's very generous. In Genesis 1, we learn that humanity's been made as God's vice regents upon earth. The creation is given to humanity in trust that we should tend it and take care of it. And that's reflected here in 1 Peter 4, that all we have is the gift from God, given for the service of others. Now that letter may be written to a church, but as God's chosen people, we learn what it is to live as true, authentic human beings. Our wealth is a good gift from God, but it's first and foremost His. It's a gift held in trust to be used for the common good. So there's some three general principles about money. But what do the scriptures have to teach us, particularly about how we can be partners in the gospel through our finances? How we can contribute to the life and mission of the church with our money? Well, here we go. Number four, the worker deserves his wages. So in 1 Corinthians 9, we read, "The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." And from Matthew 10, we saw Jesus says the worker deserves his wages, his keep. If you've ever wondered how Amy and myself and now Erica are going to get paid, where the money for our church power bills, all the other stuff that we do comes from, very straightforward answer, as you all know, is from the money that you give to St. George's. Yes, we've got some assets, but actually our primary income is from what you give. That's why we talk about it, give you an opportunity to give every week. There's a tap and go up the back of the church. And of course, there's many other good places that you can give your money to. We'll touch on those in a moment. But the simple equation is that all the good things that we do here as part of God's mission, we're able to do them. They're funded from you, your generous giving. And that brings us to point five, generosity. In 2 Corinthians 9, we read that you'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The scriptures urge us to be generous in our giving, generous in our partnership in the gospel, generous in our care of the needy. Now, generosity, of course, isn't measured in absolute terms. It's not the dollar figure, but rather how much in relation to what you have. And more on this in a moment. So there's our five principles for giving. Money's good, belongs to God, we're stewards, the worker deserves his wages. And God is generous to us, so he calls us to be generous. So where do we direct our giving to? Well, the New Testament sets out two main areas where we direct our finances. Number one, to support the work of the gospel, and number two, to provide for those in need. As a church, if you had a look at this flyer here, it'll show you where the breakdown of where our budget goes to each year. As a church, the majority of our budget goes to the local ministry of St. George's. It not only lets us do what we enjoy on a Sunday, but also our kids' church, our youth discussion group, our pastoral care, our Bible studies, Alpha, our witness in the community, with our big four public events, Easter, Henry Baldwin Lecture, named after him in June, our Christmas service, and coming up in March, Shrove Tuesday Pancakes, which Amy's going to tell us about later today. But I want to suggest that your primary giving responsibility lies with St. George's. This is the church you're part of. It's the community of faith which you're fed and cared for. And your financial giving is a vital, concrete way in which you can contribute to our mission as the light on the hill. So as a church, we also give about $10,000 a year to the Durdens, who work with Wycliffe Bible Translators in Cambodia. They're our cross-cultural mission partners, kind of our hands and feet overseas. Joey works in aid and development. Mark leads an international team using computer technology to facilitate Bible translation and minority language preservation. So some of what you give each week at church goes to funding their work as well. Now we have two local mission partners. We've got Andy Maskell, who you were greeted by as you came in, working with University Fellowship of Christians at UTAS. And second, Anglicare Tasmania, practically showing the love of Christ by serving the most vulnerable in our community. And we aim to hear regularly from our mission partners through the year. On top of that, there's a plethora of different places into which you can direct your giving. But I encourage you to keep those two kind of big picture themes in mind, the work of the gospel and supporting the needy. You might want to pick one from each category. So for example, we as a family support Noongalingya Bible College in Northern Territory, which is training Indigenous church leaders. And we also have a sponsor child in Uganda with Compassion. And I'd also suggest that you set aside some money in your budget for occasional things or crises that may arise, like the homeless person who you run into on the street, or a local or international disaster. All right, so there's a little bit about where you might like to direct your giving. The big question that everyone always asks is how much? How much? Now, if you're an Old Testament Israelite, it'd be very clear. You're commanded to tithe, that is to give 10% of your income to the ministry of the Levites in the temple and the care of poor Israelites. As Christians, though, we don't live under the law, but under grace. And so there's no command as to what percentage of your income to give. So the short answer to how much is as much as you want. But the Apostle Paul does have some advice for us in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. First he says that our giving is in response to the grace God has shown us in Christ. And he puts that in financial terms. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. The Lord Jesus himself gave up his wealth in order to give us spiritual riches, then we too ought to be generous. And so Paul continues in chapter 9, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. Now, just an aside, this is not a divine formula for material prosperity. The reaping may not be financial. Jesus promises treasures in heaven, not on earth. And plus, the point, as you can see, is that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. That is, once again, whatever wealth you have is for good work. Not only your good, but for the service of others. But that question, how much? Well, as much as you want. And here Paul adds, cheerfully and generously. And finally, C.S. Lewis has some helpful advice on this question. He writes, I don't believe one can settle on how much one ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditures on comforts, luxuries, amusements, etc. is up to the common standard common amongst those with the same income as our own, we're probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they're too small. There ought to be things which we should like to do and cannot do because our charitable expenditure excludes them. So how much? As much as you want, generously and cheerfully. And finally, let me also suggest deliberately. If you do a budget, don't get around to giving as your last item. Have it in there as one of your essentials, along with groceries and car insurance and your mortgage, before luxuries like eating out and holidays. We've put together a little guide on the front of the Your Part in the Budget flyer to help you work out what percentage of your income it would look like to give according to your income bracket. So, for example, if you earned $50,000 a year and you'd like to give 5%, that would look like $48 a week. Or say you earned $80,000 a year, you want to give 10%, that would look like $154 a week. So anyway, there's more than that. There's a little square box. Anyway, have a look at that. Take it home. And on the back of this, it's got different ways that you can give at church. Direct deposit, credit card on our website, cash check via the collection box, or using the tap and go on the way out with your credit card. But for those of you who are here at church and a bit older, I want to make a direct challenge to you today. This is a bit risky, but I'm going to give it a go. I want to challenge you to make a bequest in your will to St. George's. You could be a William Cripps or a Henry Baldwin. A bequest is a way that you can keep giving to God's mission even after you've gone to glory. And what's more, you'll actually get to see how the money's really used and the fruit that it has in glory, unlike the rest of us for whom it's a bit opaque, right? It's a powerful way to demonstrate that you're seeking treasure in heaven and not on earth. And it's, as Paul puts it, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice to God. What a wonderful thing to be able to see still at work when you stand at the Father's side. So if you're interested in doing that, then have a chat with myself or Amy, and I think we've got details on our website. Okay, three final words. First, as we give, we do so remembering God's promise in Philippians 4. What does it say there? God will supply all we need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God will supply all that we need. He, of course, has all the riches of glory. And so generous giving is a way of exercising your faith muscles. You can trust God will provide for you as you give. Number two, and maybe I should have said this all through the service, but I'll do it now as we finish. Lots of you are incredibly generous givers, and I just want to say thank you. It's a beautiful thing for us to see here at St. George's. And it's something, did you see that? We saw that in Paul's words there. There's not many places in Scripture where you get a direct verse that says, if you do this, God is pleased with you. Well, one of them is giving. As you give, that is something, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So thank you so much for your generosity. And third, this is one sermon in a whole series on mission, right? There are lots of other ways to contribute to God's mission here at St. George's. We have to talk about money. It's an important part of things, but there's lots of other things coming up for us in the coming weeks. We're on a mission from God here at St. George's. We exist to see people drawn to the light of Christ, transformed by the light of Christ, sent out to shine the light of Christ. And your financial generosity is a powerful way you can partner in God's mission here. So thank you for your generosity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your incredible generosity and love toward us in the Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, entered into the poverty of our humanity, in order that we through his poverty might become rich, share in the abundance of your glory. Father, we thank you for all the incredible gifts that you give us. And as those who have received so much, who are the beneficiaries of your abundant generosity, help us to be people who are marked by generosity. And we thank you for the incredible privilege that we can share in your mission in this world through our gifts, through our giving in money. Please help us to give, to be generous, to trust you, to exercise those faith muscles. And may we also have the joy of seeing the fruit of what we're investing in as people find life and hope in Jesus' name and your kingdom grows and the needs of this world are met. And we ask this for your name's sake. Amen.